Who knows? Could be either. Hello, welcome to the big show. Yes, we're here to discuss all the big stories in tech, all the big shiz that's gone on, all the things that have happened, and we've got a new boy to break in. How lucky are we?
Hello.
That'll be him jumping the gun. Joining us to discuss the week in tech, a fab panel, starting us off, top left, James Forrester.
Evening all.
New boy. Bright and shiny, unsullied. How you doing, mate?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm all right. Now, you're an estate agent, but you're a rather cool estate agent, aren't you?
I'm a very cool person in general.
Well, yes, but you're a cool estate agent because you've got Macs all through your whole place, haven't you?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, Mac mad.
Mac mad. There
is
you go.
Is that literally the bar for cool?
Well, it is if you're into Mac, yeah. If you're into Windows, no, I agree, Atlee. Being as a Windows developer, you're probably unhappy at that. But Greeny should show a little bit more respect now.
I've got all three.
Well, okay, yeah, you've probably got an Android Windows phone kicking around as well, haven't you?
I've got an Android computer. I've got a Windows with two Windows computers.
You're admitting to being an OS whore, Muller.
Yeah.
Oh, me too. I've got Linux servers and
there you go.
Macs and PCs here.
So you're cool for a different reason.
He's just showing off now.
Yeah, he is. That's true. But James, you're into your tech, right?
Yes, love my tech. Bit of a gadget freak.
Good man. And you thought you wanted to come on and have a bit of play with us?
Yeah. Why not? Let's play together.
Oh, excellent, mate. Superb. Next to him, it's Muller.
Hello, mate.
Blimey, you're in the studio. How you doing, buddy?
I'm fine, thank you.
I haven't seen you for a few weeks.
2 weeks, yeah. Yeah.
Wearing your WASP top. I've been to one game this year.
Yeah, I haven't been to any of the European games. No. I got the Christmas one.
They moved all the sudden games to a Saturday. I can't go now.
I think the Christmas one's on a Friday. Oh, no, I can't remember now.
It's on the 24th, Christmas Eve.
Should be able to go to that one then.
Well, no, actually, I'm putting some cameras out on the 23rd, the night of the 23rd. So I should be back and I should be able to go to the 24th one. That should be all right.
Great. So I've got the 24th for the rugby, Christmas Day, then on the day after I'm at the Blues. Box.
On the day after, I'm freezing my arse off on a railway line.
I know. I'll be in a lovely warm box watching Birmingham probably lose, but never mind.
Well, I'm glad you will. next to him, it's Atlee, our resident Microsoft expert, we're still waiting on a Windows show, dude.
I know.
But you've been ill.
And then I got really sick and...
What was wrong? Was it man flu or have you had something proper?
What was that?
Is it man flu or have you had something proper?
No, I had a pretty serious flu. I almost had to go into the hospital for a little while.
Oh, so, man. Yeah.
I was sick for a couple of weeks. I basically spent about 2 weeks in bed.
Did the wife look after you, though?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's okay, then. That's not too bad.
She's awesome. She always looks after me.
It's if you're married to a callous bitch like me and she just says, look after yourself. I'm not helping you.
Did she rub Vicks into your chest?
No, I look after her when she's sick and she looks after me when I'm sick. We got a pretty good deal.
Only when Vicks didn't mind. and last but by no means least, it's the green man.
The green man. Actually looking a slightly blue in your video thing, but that's okay.
Well, that's the reflection off your screen, Greeny, because you refuse to buy a decent light to show yourself off.
Well, I live in this crappy bed set and... maybe I should get. I put the main.
I'm going to buy you a lamp for Christmas. I'm going to buy buy you an angle poise lamp with love, and you can have it to show yourself off, mate.
Are they expensive?
Are they expensive?
Yeah, about over 100 quid for a good one.
Really? Yeah. I've got one here that I don't use anymore. You can have that.
I'm thinking more Argos, sort of $5.99 ish.
No, angle poise lamps are really, really expensive.
Oh no, come on, IKEA's got to do.
Not angle poise. You said angle poise.
I'll lay your money on IKEA do one.
They're retro 70s stuff, aren't they? You can get something like what you've got on the desk that are cheap.
Well, that was IKEA. It was about 12 quid.
Yeah, but it's not an angle poise, though, is it?
Well, it's all right. The treatment for Asperger's isn't going well, then, is it?
No, it's not going to get
Jesus.
But I'm sure I can rob a lamp from somewhere. Yeah, I know it's. I always look a rather blue colour, but I don't mind that so much. It's.
You look like a Smurf.
You do actually. You haven't got a white bobble out of you.
No, well, I could get one. Yeah, so, all round, all things good.
Excellent, mate. Fantastic to have you on board, as always.
Thank you. Very kind.
The Week in Tech, all the big stories then. Traditionally, James, this is a flying fast finger to try and throw a link into the chat room faster than everyone else. But as you're the new boy, we're going to give you first dibs, and we're going to put your story in first.
Great. Great. I thought I'd have gone last, but I appreciate that.
No, because I don't think anyone else is going to have this story, so that's fair enough.
This is part of throw them into the fire right away, right?
Well, yeah, no. So the idea is you bring a story to the show, and then you have to explain your story and why you think it's a good debating point, and then we have a debate about whether we think it's any good or not. As in, whether, you know, what the merits of the points of the story are, not whether your story's good or not. Sorry.
All right. Okay. Do you want me to go now?
Yeah, you go for it, mate. Start
Fantastic.
Us off.
Fantastic. So I'm going to read out the headline of why I particularly chose this story, which is "Forget Uber, the e-bike revolution is about to take over urban transport."
Right. Now, I've opened the link, and it's opened on one computer, but it won't open on the other one now. But you'll have to give Phil, mate. Phil.
I'll give you the basics on this. So what they're saying now is Uber, out of all the companies, have actually bought an electric bike rental company, and they have seen in major cities across the US and Berlin in Germany literally a 15% increase in people taking electric bikes to get to work within a 5-kilometer radius, and they've seen a drop of 10% in their own taxis. So I think e-bikes are going to be huge for next year.
Is that about the infrastructure though as well? Because Germany strikes me as a place that would cater for bike infrastructure. It's a big old place for a start. They've got a bit more space than we have.
Well, you've got to be able to charge them, haven't you?
You've got to charge for the e-bike.
Well, you've got to charge to actually charge the bike up so it works.
Yeah, no. But what I'm saying is if people are taking it 5 kilometres to work and back again, that's not going to deplete, is it?
No, it isn't.
But if you think about it in our own city, we're in Birmingham, and we've got plenty of bike parking places where all they've got to do is just put the electricity to it, and hey presto, you've got an e-bike rental.
Yeah. And somebody will come along with an angle grinder and grind the damn thing off and nick it.
Probably. That's Uber's responsibility, though.
There's a web page, isn't it, for that? What was the bike that Wrighty bought, the Ola bike or something like that, around Norwich? There was a website of where they've been chucked and canals and that kind of stuff.
The Chinese ones.
Yeah.
But electric bikes are a little bit different, aren't they? Because if you think about it, the whole point of why this is going to work, and it's why I'm quite keen on a tech point, is because, if you're in a suit and you just want to get from A to B, it's obviously going to be a lot easier to get to by bike. And, if you don't have to pedal that much, then you're not going to get as sweaty either.
You've never had one, have you? I had. That's what
I was going to ask you about. How are you getting on with your electric bike, Muller?
Bastard.
He had it nicked.
I like the manual one, but the trouble with the electric bikes is that the gears are wrong, and so you get to a maximum speed, and once you get over 15 mile an hour, you're on your own. I mean, it helps you go up hills and that, but to be honest with you, they need to get the gearing right on them. The one I had, which was a good make, I found I'm faster on a non-geared bike and I am on the electric bike.
So now you've gone from the luxury of an electric bike to
back to
a normal bike. Would you say that you wouldn't have bought an electric bike with hindsight, or you would?
I think I'm glad I did have an electric bike for a bit, because now I know that I'm better off with the one I got.
It helped you get fit.
It did, now you're fit,
the other bike taken over, hasn't it?
Well, yeah, and it's lighter. I mean, them blooming electric bikes, you start carrying them. I use the canals a lot. You start carrying them up a few steps. And if you start putting racks on them, bits and pieces, it start racking up the weight on them, and they're not light. I mean, the batteries alone, they're quite heavy.
You can go up the ramps. You don't have to carry it.
There's only a few with ramps around the city centre. There's a few, but where I live, there's none. I mean, you have to carry them up the steps. Otherwise,
I'll have to disagree with you. I might be new, but I will disagree.
Ooh.
Because I have to admit, I absolutely love mine. I think it's great.
I think Muller loved his, don't get me wrong. He's just pissy because he got it nicked.
Yeah, I just found that once you got to about 25 mile an hour, you couldn't get any faster. you know, you sort of you run out of gears.
Oh, so hang on, okay. So that's nothing to do with the electric motor. That's saying
no, the electric motor's the all right.
Right, I mean, so it's purely just the gearing's wrong. Because I mean, mine, I can do 40 miles an hour on my bike.
Yeah, mainly downhill.
Yeah, downhill. If I'm downhill, but I'm still pedaling
off
at that point.
Off a ski ramp with a 1 in 5 drop.
No. So if you go around Auckland Drive, which is like my part of my first part of the route, if you go down the hill there, I'm going down a hill, but I'm still pedaling. I'm still adding to the momentum when I'm cycling in top gear, which you're saying you can't do after 25 miles an hour.
Right. I'm going to get him tested.
Is that true or not?
I think 40 mile an hour with your fitness isn't going to happen.
Just grew out gravity might take
was,
over.
Was that just you just liar pants on fire?
I think so, yeah. Well, that's quick.
Thanks. It is quick, trust me.
Yeah, I know. I mean,
but you can see the advantage to it, you know, altogether. You know, I'll do mine when I come out of the house. You know, if I come in the car to get into Birmingham city centre, it's going to take me an hour in the morning. It takes me 25 minutes on the electric bike and I don't get sweaty.
Yeah, that's good.
Can I deviate slightly?
You've never stopped it before, mate. So.
No, never ever stops. Sinclair, he invented. So I've got a bike, which I use, which you can probably see in the video. And he invented a
C5.
He did do the C5, but he also invented a sort of a plug-in for a regular bike that makes your regular bike electric, but then you can take it off as well.
Did he?
You can buy them now. You have to buy a wheel. The wheel is has the motor in, and you buy some kit and you can bolt it to your bike now. So you can do it now if you want to do that. It costs about £1,000.
You can buy a Sinclair C5 on eBay for £600.
Yeah,
well, I think that's brilliant.
You'd be run over by the first booming truck in Birmingham, so you'll end up as a piece of.
No, we didn't. So no one said it worked. But I mean, how much were they when they were new?
Can't remember.
I've got the Wikipedia page up here. It's got its own Wikipedia page, which is cool. 250-watt motor, 12-volt battery, 20-mile range. So that's right up there with mobility scooters and stuff, isn't it? My dad's just got a new mobility scooter. It does 10 miles an hour.
Bosses, aren't they?
26 miles range.
Have you not seen that YouTube and that bloke who got a wheelchair and he put a motor on it and he was doing 70 and was being chased by the police? Look it up. Absolutely.
So, according to this story, right?
How he ended up in the wheelchair in the first place.
I'll tell you what, how he got round corners, I don't know, but it's actually on there and I watched it. It's funny as Foxtrot uniform Charlie Kilo.
The apparently the thousands of unsold C5s were left over after he went bust. As much as £5,000 were being paid for investors for hugely inflated prices compared to the purchase price of £399. So this guy's selling it for £600. He's made a profit.
didn't his son try to rehash the C5 recently?
That sounds familiar.
I mean, bring it up into current specs. I can't see them letting that on the road now. You'd die.
Well, it was never legal for the road anyway.
Wasn't it? What was the point of it then?
No, because you're limited to under 12 miles per hour, aren't you? For the purposes of mobility only, you're not. So like, you know, the hoverboards, I think by definition, they're illegal. You can't actually use them.
So electric scooters.
Yeah, electric scooters are illegal as well. But I mean, they're all over London.
I see a lot of two-stroke motors on pedal bikes on the canal. You can see them quite a lot, you know.
Yeah. I think unless it's got a license plate on it and it's passed the DVLA tests and that kind of stuff, it's illegal. So I think segways are illegal on the road and that kind of stuff. You can't ride them on the pavement or anything like that.
Only in the UK, though. Most European countries, they're allowed.
I worked in and lived in Switzerland for a while. And the way they do it is they make sort of wide walkways and they put a line down the middle. So the one side is for pedestrians and the other side is for people sort of whizzing around on scooters and things. And they go so fast, it's ridiculous. And if you're an idiot like I am, sometimes you get confused about which lane you're supposed to be walking in. And I haven't been mowed down, but it's very close to.
There's some golf places as well issue segways as instead of buggies. So you climb on the Segway with your golf club on your bag, your golf clubs on your bag, and you scoot off and do your hit your shot, and then you follow it. So it's far quicker than having two people in a buggy because they're not going to each other's shot; they're going to their own shot. I've seen a couple of those in Portugal.
So, I think they're great.
I think they're brilliant.
I still think they're going to take over.
I think you're right, but I think if you look at Birmingham, you're finding your own route, aren't you? And so is Muller with the canals. And the canals are great, but you're not going to badge that as a cycleway. And there's loads of money being given for cycleways, and they've completely ruined the bypass by Castle Bromwich by putting a cycle lane in and taking it to single-file traffic. When it's a bypass, it's supposed to be two
lanes.
A lot
of the canals are cycle lanes. For instance, I can get to Smethwick on the 5A. There's two ways of doing it. You can go up from Spaghetti up the Great Bar and then round. To West Brom and back down, or you can go straight out of Birmingham city centre up the main one, which is the big one, and then you can take any of the side canals.
Where Cliff Richard used to use his hovercraft to go to work, we were talking
probably
about
yeah.
We have talked about that film on the past on the big show.
Yeah, but it's like when you say, so I've done the one on the canal, obviously leaving the city centre, and it's great up until you get to the gravel paths, and then it just turns into an absolute nightmare.
Do you skate a bit on those then?
You, when you're on the electric bike, because obviously the trick is to sort of keep it at 14 and a half miles an hour. Yeah. So you're not having to put that much effort into it. And as soon as you hit that gravel, you're skidding off a little bit. I've had a few close comings when I've passed another bike and just about gone into the canal.
How much was your electric bike, James?
Ooh, I think it was, I'm just looking at it now, actually. It's next to me, about $2,500.
Yeah, yours was about 1,500, 1,800, wasn't it?
I got it from one of the Halfords, and they took £300 for my other bike, so it was $1,900 when it was new. But I didn't pay that.
Yeah.
But the key thing is the technology on it. So like I've got Bosch motor, Bosch battery, Bosch gearing all attached to it. Shimano gearing, Bosch battery, Bosch motor. And I think that's the secret. Get the Germans in, you'll never let you down.
Mine was Bosch. Mine was actually a German bike. It was KTM.
Okay, yeah. I've got Kalkoff. Yeah, I think they're owned by the same. I think it's the same manufacturer, just different brands.
No, but
as long as you need to get the German stuff tested by another country or another people, because apparently the Germans don't aren't always truthful about their testing.
No, that was a nice dig at VW, mate. Well done.
Mine was very much when I went to the shop and I just said to them, look, you know, I need a bike that can hold my weight. And that was the one they pointed to and I was sold. That was it.
So are you seeing the same issue? So presumably there's a few hills from where you live. Are you seeing the same issues that Muller was talking about with the gearing, that it tops out at 25 and doesn't go any further, or have you got a higher range ratio?
I don't want to go that fast on it. I want to do as least work on it as possible.
Okay, so you've never accidentally gone over 25?
Oh, yeah, downhill. Yeah. I think 34, 35 then? Miles an hour on it so far.
Sounds like he's using it on sport mode, which got... Do you?
You can. I did do a little YouTube channel just to show some videos on it. You see me flying down the Wolverhampton Road or the Hagley Road in the morning, then I'm not stopping for anyone, that's for certain.
Yeah, the trouble is with sport mode, I think you can only... it drops it down from 50 miles down to about 10.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really powerful. Mind you, if you can take the battery off and take it into work and charge it, it's not an issue, is it?
Yeah, that's all right. I get about 80 miles out of mine.
I've got a spare charger if you want to buy it.
How's the charger work? Is it a proprietary charger?
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, that's the thing that I think that really stops some of these things, because, I mean, yeah, they make money getting the proprietary, to buy extra chargers and this and that, but it ends up becoming a pain in the butt. What they need to do is they need to make these things run off a universal charger like a USB-C or something like that, and allow them to do things like quick charging and things like that.
I suppose the problem you've got with that, though, is that the quick charging thing, but the amount of quick charging you get out of a USB-C or that kind of equivalent connector into a large battery like that that's lead acid or multiple lipos is quite low. You get a real heat generation issue, wouldn't you? So or a lack of draw.
Yeah, that's true.
Cable's got to cope with an awful lot there.
They're not just batteries, though, are they? All the brain is in the battery. So when you take the battery out and put it into another bike, it will tell you that's what says the mileage. So when you plug that into another bike, so if he bought my battery, hasn't just been nicked, but if I put my battery into his, it would suddenly say his bike's done 3,000 miles.
I love the fact we're not rubbing it in, you're rubbing it in, that you lost the bike.
I've got over it now, I've got another bike, I'm happy with it. So You know, it's no good crying over spilt milk, is it?
No use crying over stolen electrons.
No. I mean, if I ever catch the person, he better have a very good health policy, because I'm going to...
Said the ex-policeman.
Yeah, don't matter.
My question the thing is though, I know how to justify what's the resale rate on these?
It depends on the bike. I think if you've bought a decent bike, then and if you haven't done much mileage on it, then you'll get close to retail value still.
No. I'm not talking about the resale value. I'm talking about the resale rate. I know that here where I am, there's been a ton of these bikes sold, but then a ton of them are being resold because people are getting them.
So that keeps the price down, right?
Yeah. No, and then they're getting rid of them.
One of the drawbacks is the prices for the new batteries. I mean, a new battery for the Bosch, 700 quid.
Jesus. Yeah.
And they're only guaranteeing them for 2 years.
Yeah, and I think that's only the 400 watt battery as well. You get to the 500, and then I think you're at £800-900 now. But you can get two batteries on your bike now as well.
Say again, Atlee.
How much did the bike cost originally?
$2,500 for James's and $1,900 for Muller's.
But I didn't pay that because of the...
Yeah, because of trading.
But they've changed the Bosch system again. I noticed that I went in the other day and looked at them, where mine had a great big cycle computer in the middle. They've moved it all onto the side now, and it's a lot neater, actually.
You're not tempted?
No. I maybe one day, but I'm quite happy with the one I got now.
Yeah.
I tend to bimble around about 15, 20 mile an hour on my other bike, and I can do about 50 mile a day, and I'm quite happy.
Well, my thought about the whole cost of those things, of being $2,500, the green footprint of them ends up becoming much smaller at that point, because for $2,500, I can go out and buy a really good used motorcycle, like a small bike to tool around in the city and get it from A to B, and the carbon footprint ends up being much smaller than owning the electric bike then.
Don't see how that can be. Keep on using it.
Well, because the carbon footprint for creating an electronic bike is huge.
Oh, for making it, right?
Yes, for making it is huge. And the fact that I'm reusing another bike, like I'm getting something else and using it, the fact that I'm using fuel and that it actually, the footprint isn't anywhere near as big.
There's an interesting question back to you, James. Is the upturn in electric bikes, is the motivation, the cost and running, or is it the I'm being good to the planet moral high ground? Because I think if you've got a motorbike, I get what you're saying with a motorbike, but even motorbikes are well easy to park, I get you, but bikes are even easier to park. And there's a lot of places will provide facilities for bikes, which are, you know, you can get hundreds of bikes in a very short space in Euston Station or something like that. James?
Yeah, the planet bit never crossed my mind, I have to admit.
You know what I'd like?
That's fair. That's an honest statement.
You want
to look at it. You bought it only for the planet. Sometimes people that are doing that are buying them are sort of misinformed about the total cost of what this is on the planet. My other concern is that, yeah, fuel has a price right now, but by the time we've turned all of our vehicles electric, what do you think the electric companies are going to start doing?
Building
when they have the monopoly on power?
Yes. Yeah. But there's a lot of people getting into the electricity markets now who are really innovating in terms of the way that the power is being gathered and charged. So I can't remember the name of the place. It begins with an O in the UK.
Oh yeah, Enovo. It's a Finnish company, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And they're only selling electricity that's from renewable sources, and they're selling it a lot cheaper. And yeah, you can't get the same quantities, and you can't get it for your domestic premises and that kind of stuff. You've got to show energy efficiency ratings and that kind of thing. But
my brother's got solar panels on his roof, and he charges it off that.
What's the view of the estate agent?
That's the advantage, don't
you? Well, for the solar panels, they're a nightmare.
I've got enough electric.
You can actually generate your own power if you have a big enough property. You could put in a turbine, or if you have, a building with the right placement and the right style of roofing and everything, you can put solar panels on it.
It comes down to ownership, because most people have bought it on finance and they haven't realised that when they go to sell it, they actually don't own the solar panels.
Oh, yeah. My brother's built his house, so I don't think he's going to sell it.
The UK is just not cut out for it yet. You know, I know we want to go electricity, all cars on electric by 2030, isn't it? But we're just not ready. I think there'll be a bit of a bodge job and it'll be hybrid.
Solar panels?
Has anyone
every time I go there, it rains the whole time I'm there.
In England?
Yeah.
It's a green and pleasant land, mate. Don't you forget it.
No, I'm teasing. I'm just teasing. I've had two times I've been to London, and both times it rained the entire time I was there.
Well, I knew you were coming. Greeny, you were going to say something inane, I'm sure.
Yeah, probably was. I've got a nice electric bike. I found it in Birmingham. It wasn't.
Oh, I'm going to kill him. I know what you're going to say. I know where you live.
It wasn't looked at properly, and I thought, oh, this is good. So I jumped on it and off I went.
Yeah. Lucky you were carrying that angle grinder with you that day.
Yeah.
That was solar powered as well.
Well, there you go. First story on a big show, and it's a good one. 20 odd minutes of discussion. Superb, mate. Well done.
No worries.
First hurdle passed. Who's next? Oh, Atley straight in. Bloody
he
hell.
Is,
fast-fingered, man.
Always is.
Oh, all right. Sorry about that.
I wrote the app for a reason.
Microsoft is rebuilding its Edge browser on Chrome and bringing it to the Mac. Oh, mate, this is a massive story.
It is a massive story, and I don't know if I'm too happy about it.
Well, didn't they bring... Microsoft have brought a browser to Mac before, haven't they? Didn't they bring a version of Internet Explorer years ago?
Yes, they did.
Yeah.
And
I don't think it did very well.
Well, it was all right. It was a deal between Apple and Microsoft, wasn't it?
Was it back in the days of Bill Gates towering over Jobs and that kind of stuff?
Exactly that. And it was sort of part of the deal. And I've had Macs that ran it, and, you know, it did okay. But these were the days before Safari and all that sort of stuff. And I think there was a big upset between Apple and Microsoft when Apple released their own browser.
What's the point of this? Because Safari runs on Chromium, doesn't it? It runs on the same framework.
I know, and so that's what I'm thinking. I'm wondering why they're doing this, because I think that for me, my curiosity, my concern is that will the browser now lose all the speed advantage that Edge has? Because Edge loads and runs much faster than Chrome does. And
renders
much faster than Chrome. So Chrome. Now they're going to get rid of the engine they're using and then include the one that's in Chrome, so now the rendering will be roughly the same. Right? Give or take nanoseconds. And all of the other stuff that, I mean, the rendering engine is the reason for the speed, the reason for the low battery usage and all of that. So now that they're including the clunky, bigger Chromium engine, are they not going to now lose all their advantage for what Edge did at all? And at that point, what is the point of Edge? Because if you have Chrome and you like Chrome, you're not going to switch to Edge because now Edge has Chrome's engine. If you're using Safari, you're not going to switch to Edge because it has Chrome's engine. So they're not going to gain any more market share. They might actually lose market share from the people that liked the speed advantages and the fact that Edge was Edge. Wasn't Chrome.
I was going to say, if you found someone who loves Chrome and goes back to sort of, you know, version 40 and says they love Chrome, they will all, to a person, now tell you that Chrome is a bag of shite. Because it started to become a bag of shite after version 59 onwards. And I know that because I haven't done work for that company for a while now, but I had a flash uploader that I had to use, and I kept Chrome purely for the purposes of using the flash uploader, and it stopped working after version 59. So I had to keep a copy of version 59, reinstall it, then I had to do the uploads that they wanted, and then when I closed that version, it would automatically upgrade again. I couldn't stop it upgrading. So the next time I had to upload something, I had to uninstall Chrome, reinstall version 59, and then it would update again. And it was just, and then it got worse and worse and worse from there. And now you had it as a nice safe haven, if you like, in inverted commas, for running flash instances. And now it's just, it doesn't do it. I mean, we can't run. People used to watch Chrome to watch this show because it was quicker. And now it's just such a bag of hurt to try and get Flash to start running in Chrome that I hate Chrome. I hate Chrome with a vengeance now. So why on earth Microsoft want to defunct the Edge browser, because it is faster. I've got Windows 10 PC that runs my Laser Etcher, and it is fast.
Yeah, yeah. The Edge browser is fast. And yeah, okay, they don't have as many add-ins. They don't have as many features, but they could continue adding features. They're saying they're going to rebuild it now using the Chromium engine. So what, are they going to go back to the start and now we've got another 3 years of not having a really functional browser that does much? Or are they going to be able to plug the engine into what's already existing? I'm very curious about it, so I'm curious to see what they're going to do. But I have a big feeling that for the first time, I'm going to have Windows with a non-Windows browser on it. I'll probably go to like Tor or something like that.
Firefox has got a bit of a resurgence, hasn't it?
I still find Firefox slow and clunky as well.
Yeah.
So, Tor seems to be fast and clean, so I might just switch to that.
I think browsers, you're talking about plugins with browsers. I just don't see the point of adding a lot of plugins to browsers. It's like sticking a pinstripe on a Morris Minor or something and expect it to go faster.
Yeah, I haven't found a plugin that I found vital. I mean, there's not a single plugin that if it started, you know, slowing down my browser or slowing down my experience, I wouldn't just go, well, I'm not going to use that. I use very few plugins to begin with. I actually use the ones that end up installing when you install the browser, and I might find one other if something comes up really cool. But realistically, I haven't found a plugin I needed.
There are people who've got add-ons to their browsers that, like, you know, mods have got Chromium rear-view mirrors all over the front of their scooters and stuff.
Yeah.
Go on, Grinny.
I was going to say, I do the occasional website, and if I'm paid for it, I test it on all the browsers. And I don't think you should dismiss Opera. Opera's still very, very good.
Opera holds a lot of the patents for a lot of the stuff that other people are doing. They were the first to do tab browsing and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I used to always use Opera as my clean browser because it was always the most stable, the cleanest, closest to standards. It was always the one that if I worked on Opera, then the other problems are usually browser specific or browser caused.
But that's dead interesting that you've said that, Greeny, because I'd forgotten that I knew a lot about Opera and I used it for a long period of time, but I just dismiss it now.
Yeah,
really?
So do I, because I just hear about it and it really doesn't seem to have gotten much.
Yeah, no. I dismiss it would mean that I thought about it and got rid of it. I don't even think about browser as Opera as a browser anymore, which is sad because it is a bloody good browser. It always was.
Very good.
Say again, Muller.
It was the go-to one on Symbian, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You wouldn't use anything else.
It was the only fully cross-platform browser for a long time.
So let's bring back Opera then.
It's still out there, mate. In fact, there was an update to it recently. I haven't used it for a while. I might download and have a play with it.
Yeah, I think I might too. Good point.
James, are you using any kind of specific Flash-specific software or anything? Because in what you're doing, you've got to interact quite heavily with people online.
Yeah, so it's funny that while you've all been talking, I've just been switching browsers just to sort of test them all out. So I've just gone from Chrome to Safari back to Firefox. And, you know, for us, you know, the big one is Flash. And as we know, when you've got Chrome, it blocks nearly every pop-up and everything that's enabled. But a lot of the clients, obviously in our industry, especially in the estate agency, they still go to Chrome. You know, they're not as tech savvy. So, you know, and even on our own stuff, if we're speaking to our CRM providers or anyone who's got a cloud product, the first thing they will tell us is get onto Chrome before we go on anywhere else.
Yeah.
It's easy to start Flash. It'll come up in the corner.
It was naggy with Chrome, you're always prompted to get it. So a lot of people end up just installing it eventually.
It's really glitchy, mate, because I've tried to just enable Flash to run our show. And it you click on the top left by where the padlock is, and it comes out and it says always allow for this site, and it still doesn't start even when you hit refresh. There's something going on there. Bob Beach says in the chat room that he prefers Edge over Chrome on Windows 10 for definite, and he also says I use very few extensions and plugins on it.
The one thing about Chrome and Flash and all that governs, particularly in Flash, is really be careful. I don't know how it works. I'm not a Windows user. I'm a Mac user. But I've had all sorts of dodginess when you it says, oh, you need to update to Flash, and it's not exactly malware, but
Flash is malware.
It's harsh.
Actually, it's more crapware than malware.
but I found when I said, okay, we'll download Flash and run it and stuff like that, that it installs. So on my Mac now, I've got, so I run Chrome and I run Safari, and every time I open Chrome, it, for a search engine, it always defaults to Bing. And
yeah, you got spoofed. there's a whole bunch of those pages that say you need to update your Flash browser, and they're not by Flash at all. They're just targeting you to install an add-in or some application or something else. You got to be careful about this.
Yeah,
and Flash seems to be the easiest target because Flash always needs to be updated. So people are used to seeing it needing an update.
Yeah, I know. I sort of know it, but anyway, I'm using Bing at the moment, whether I like it or not, or Yahoo sometimes. That's
so
the other one I popped
so.
Up with.
Might have a try Vivaldi again. I've just had a look at it, and it's
Vivaldi. I've forgotten about Vivaldi as well.
And it's, I just looked at it, and there's a new version out, and it's really highly rated.
Do you know, I've used the word Netscape more than I've used the words Vivaldi and Opera in the last 6 months, just taking the piss.
Oh, I'm going to have a play with a few of these. Just come back into the...
I'm going to download Opera. Greeny, you've actually inspired me there straight away to download Opera.
You say that almost as if it's a surprise.
It is. Not because you suggested it. It's a surprise. It's a surprise because I've shocked myself. I've forgotten about it, like I said.
It was such a prominent browser not too long ago.
It was. It was huge.
I used to use it on Symbian.
One thing we do have to thank Flash for, because if Flash didn't exist, we wouldn't have the app stores.
I bloody love Flash. I don't see what everyone's bloody problem
Flash
with it is.
It's garbage. It's a security hole. It's a resource dump. It doesn't release.
It's a security hole because it's popular and lots of people used it for a very long time. And now they've stopped updating it.
There's a lot of things you can do with it that leave people, well, not as much anymore, but there were a lot of things you could do with it that would leave people very open to other things. And it's one reason that like browsers all turned it off by default, because people jam junk in it through Flash, and there's all sorts of garbage that gets done, and Flash plugins are just a huge resource hog. One of the things I've always said, pretty much anything made by Adobe will cause you to have to regularly reboot your computer to get your resources back.
Anything. Photoshop as well.
Photoshop was horrible for it. I don't know how bad it is now. I haven't used it for a couple of years, but at some point you will eventually. I was using Adobe Audition a while back, and we have to regularly reboot the computers that use it to eventually get back all the memory, because it'll eventually just bleed memory into nowhere.
Yeah, that's true. I have to admit, I'm just in my memory now in my Mac, and I just have loads of Adobe's downloads.
Yeah, and it's interesting because their software works very well while you're using it, but it doesn't seem to care about how the rest of the system works. It's sort of Adobe goes, well, you're in Adobe now. That's all this computer's for. And they don't seem to care whether the resources ever go back to the rest of the system or not.
Now, normally we would say if you go through, so if you'd like to see any of the stories that we got, or when we do the cool things at the end of the show, any of the cool things, you can go to britishtechnetwork.com/chat and you can click on the links. And normally we issue a warning that says don't click on any links that Muller's put in, because they're usually something inane and stupid or worse, not safe for work. But he's actually put something in here from rankred.com. Alternative web browsers, 30 alternate web browsers you didn't know were available. And here they are. I've got to say...
That's okay. Anyone use Dillo? That's not how I read that the first time. Because it was coming from Mulder, so I immediately thought... if anyone's going to find a browser called Dildo, it would be Mulder.
It's a free Dillo. I've got to say, actually, that graphic for Dillo, it does look like you've gone back to the 1990s.
Yeah, but it's look at it. It's minimalistic. That's why
QT Web looks the same. It's gone back to the lighter days of Netscape.
Yeah, it does look like Netscape. But I mean, that's because they got none of that other stuff that takes all your, you know, all your resources. It's just a browser.
If
you look at the way browsers have gone, that we've gone back to a much more minimalistic. We were a little in the early 2000s. We were a little menu and button crazy, I think.
I think actually
it was new.
I mean, I use Edge on most of my Windows one, but I mean under the hood, that's doing a lot.
Mm.
It's not. It's minimalistic, but it's still doing it. It's still saving your passwords, putting your passwords in, suggesting stuff, sending you to Bing. all of these are just ones that won't do any of that at all. They're just browsers. They're not going to save your history and report back on you, show your wife what you're buying.
They're capable of looking at the 10 sites that were on the internet in the 1990s, and that's it.
Oh, Conqueror. I used to use that on Linux.
Yeah. Bookmarks was a plugin.
Yeah. I haven't... Conqueror was Linux, wasn't it?
Komodo Ice Dragon.
No, I've never heard that one before.
I think Conqueror is still going, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a Linux one, isn't it? I mean, obviously. Yeah.
Midori, God, I'd forgotten about Midori.
Mm-hmm. WaterFox, that's got to be like Firefox, but putting it out.
Lunarscope. Oh my God!
Vance, I haven't used
Vance. Got loads.
That's a really good link, Muller. It grieves me to say it because normally yours awesome, stuff's shit, but. That's really awesome. Cool link, mate. Well done. Top marks to Muller.
There's something to play with.
Someone has a weekend they want to blow away. Install 30 browsers on your computer and see which one you like.
I might try the dildo one.
Just so your wife borrows your computer and does a double take.
No, that one looks quite interesting, to be honest.
Has anyone ever used Dillo? There we go. We've got a show title. I love Dillo.
I've never used it, so
the rechargeable Dillo. I've got to say, Dillo is going to get some people on iTunes really going.
Dillo's getting huge.
If you've got the rankings,
a huge Dillo. There we go.
What did that Conqueror one is actually?
Look at the size of that Dillo.
Do you put batteries in your Dillo?
Oh, moving on before it gets any worse. Go on, Greeny, sorry. That's the first time I've got a deviation from Greeny I've been proud of having. Go on, mate.
All I was going to say, I used to use Conqueror, and it's spelled with a K if you're interested.
So you still get it then?
Yeah, it's a really quick...
It's really a fast browser. I've used it a few times.
Yeah, I mean, if you just want to look up hyperlinks and click and go, and you're not looking for massive, you know, graphical load and that kind of stuff, then it's, you know, there are kind of hogs, aren't there, I suppose?
It's still a WebKit browser, though, isn't it? Conqueror.
Is it?
Yeah. It's no different from Safari.
But wasn't it one of the originators, or wasn't it the originator?
I would say that was Netscape, wouldn't you?
No, Netscape wasn't the originator.
Netscape was the kind of first thing that was popular. After, you know, AOL actually was probably the best thing that ever happened to Netscape because it got installed eventually, didn't it, as part of the AOL setup when you got your disk from the supermarket.
I was a CompuServe man.
Yeah. CompuServe, yeah.
Yeah.
What happened to them?
Thanks
for the GIF. good story, mate. Well done. Who's next?
It's either me or...
You're Greeny. You want to go in on?
Yeah, I can do it.
What's your story, mate, then?
Well, it sort of connects with our sort of slightly retro conversation.
Retro.
1990s.
Well, this one goes back to 1986. So, Puma...
Was he born?
Who make pumps and stuff.
Yeah.
back in the day, they released a computer that they were called, the RS computer shoe, that could connect to your sort of old school PC or Mac, and would record sort of, you know, how many steps and things you took, and then you could upload it to your PC or Mac.
Oh, and, my God. I know what you're going to do. Go on.
Well, all I was going to say, sort of the sort of connection between that and the modern day watch, and they're releasing a new version of this that will connect to your iPhone or iOS device. I assume Android as well. And it'll do exactly the same. So it's in the vein of modern technology that sort of records your health and fitness goals. And but this one is in a shoe, and it's rather nice that it's sort of harking back to 1986, but it's also it's also modern and relevant. And
I never saw the original of this. Did the original look similar?
Look at it.
Yes. Yeah.
No, that's the reissue.
Is that the reissue?
That looks awful.
But that is what the new one, the old one looked like.
I love the fact that you've got the computer system mounted on the back end of the shoe, and it's called the R system.
It's lovely. As far as I know, that's the new one.
That's the new one, yeah. That's the reissued version.
The reissued one, yeah, is exactly the same as the old one from the 80s. But I think it's got Bluetooth and Wi-Fi on it and all sorts of things.
It does seem, so, considering how much goes on in a Fitbit and the fact that that links to your phone perfectly fine, this does seem a tad chunky, I have to say.
It's got a flux capacitor.
There's a competing title for the story. Huge RS shoes.
RS stands for running system.
I know, but it sounds like ours.
Well, it depends how heavy the shoes are. There might be no running going on here.
Yeah, no, exactly.
It's way out.
Well, I don't run.
One huge RS dildo. Dillo.
A dillo. Yeah, make sure you know what your autocorrect's going to make it actually change.
Not yet. No.
They are awful.
They're ugly looking things.
Would it not have been easy though, just to get an insole just have some, you know, connections inside that could do the same thing?
Oh, that's what I'm saying. So if you look at a Fitbit's the sod all to a Fitbit, and it does 10 times. It's got an accelerometer, heartbeat tracker, the whole lot.
So Greeny, my question to you is, do you have 100 size 9s of these?
Yes.
That's an in-joke, James, because Greeny decided to do it, become a shoe trader a little while ago and bought size 9 shoes.
Have you seen the other link? Got a floppy disk next to it. The software comes on floppy.
You can all bugger off. I don't know. it was a good... I like it that it's sort of connected... The new version is connecting with its its old cousin, as it were, or its
mate.
Its
there's a line here. It says, "Ostentatiously checking your phone becomes every few minutes is a pain," and then it says, "I can't remember where I saw it." It says, "But what was deeply uncool in 1986? This was uncool in 1986." Some 30 years later is strangely compelling.
Yes, thank you. It's got LEDs on it.
Oh, well, I've sold. I'll get a pair now.
They're not expensive, actually.
The only drawback of the originals over this one is that you had to connect it with a 16-pin cable every time you wanted to check your steps.
I was going to say, it probably comes with a big ribbon cable.
that's the link I put in. It shows what the original one
I want a set of dot matrix trainers.
I'm just intrigued to see how the floppy disk originally fitted in the trainers.
Do you know how these help you lose weight? That thing probably weighs an extra pound.
It probably does. That's the truth. Yeah, James did say that at the start.
But the I've just read. They're only releasing 86 of these.
Oh, because it's 1986. There we go. Yeah. Yes.
If you're going to have 72 of them in storage.
Yeah, well, no. Nobody wants them, so they don't want to run the risk of...
There's going to be 86 of them in glass cases waiting for investment to mature.
If you run fast enough, do you get two, like, fire lines when you disappear?
You have to go 88 miles per hour and then you can go back a little
bit. You're going to look at all the people waiting to get on the subway in New York. And you're going to see the one person who's wearing the Puma R system, because they're going to be leaning forwards to counterbalance against the load that's on the back of them.
It is rather large, isn't it? You have to say. But I think it's impressive. I mean, if you were in a bar or a coffee shop or something like that, you put your feet up and they saw that on the back of it.
They would think, get that clumpy shoe off.
You're under house arrest.
To be perfectly honest, then.
Yeah, you've got a tag on. They'd be like, what are you doing out after 7 o'clock?
They're not doing 86 because there's a whole range of them here. There's different styles. There's about 20 different styles.
Well, have you noticed the two lugs that are on the back? I'm just wondering whether that's port and starboard.
I think
Or whether that's like positive and negative for a set of jumper leads.
I think that's. I think those are the old ones, because I've just looked at the footlocker ones.
Lights? Those are your turn signals.
I've just looked at the footlocker, and it looks like they've made it slightly smaller.
Right.
Just look at the other link. If it is safe, honestly, but if you look on there, they're all there, but they're a bit smaller.
We need to get you on to...
Sorry, I've reread it. It's 86 individual numbered pairs, so everyone else is a fake, basically.
Yeah.
Well, I thought it was a fun pick, and I didn't take the piss out of your picks, and my pick was brilliant.
Mate, your story's excellent. I've got no problem with the story. It's providing untold mirth. Which is the purpose of this show.
I'll have to go and get my Commodore 64 back out and see if it'll work with it.
Well, it does. It does, I think. But I think what's really nice is that they've developed an iOS and, I assume, Android app that replicates reinvents the original app that worked on the early Apples and early PCs.
Do you get a free modem with it?
Free. Maybe there's actually some stuff on the bottom and you stand in a modem port.
Yeah.
And you've got to be there for 2 hours.
I remember I got my first 56K modem. I was overjoyed. Yeah. They cost a fortune.
I wonder if they're waterproof.
I would have thought they are now.
Horrible if you shorted out in the puddle.
Yeah, especially in this country.
How much are they? Anybody got a price?
About £90 on average.
Yeah, the RS.
That's not bad for a shoe these days, is it?
The link that you posted has got RS rising up to $84.99, hasn't it?
I saw a couple on there for about £90. So they
But are those the ones with the addition onto it? Because it doesn't look like they have anything really on the back.
No, they're just normal trainers with a.
Just normal trainers.
But whether they've got the RS system in them or not, I don't know. But they're called RS.
It probably wouldn't
RS,
be so big now, would it? Probably be in the heel.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to buy them if they haven't got the big thing on the back. That you can
I don't think they do, actually, now, mate. I think the big thing's an old thing.
How'd you turn them on? Do you have to click your heels together?
Yeah, and they only work in Kansas.
You have to click them. You have to click them 3 times to turn them on and twice to turn them off.
That's where the LED lights come into effect.
If you pay the upgrade, you can get a clapper for them.
Mate,
I get emails from people going, I've listened to this show for the first time and you're all a bunch of morons. And I'm thinking, you've got us pretty quick. Well done, mate.
You've got to get one of them RS watches.
I like it though. That, and you see this.
Greeny, great story, mate.
It's a fantastic story.
You see it as a general trend that big companies are sort of looking back to their history, their legacy, and reinventing stuff and reintroducing it. And I thought this was a good example.
The cynic would say idealist, but go on.
Yeah, well, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Apple sort of re-released the iPhone 1, which I've got one. I wouldn't be surprised. I really would.
With Flash.
Yeah, no. Well, the commemorative edition or something. Well, they've already gone past the 10-year, haven't they? So 20-year then.
Yeah, something like that. And the iPhone 1 for me was like the best iPhone I've ever done. It was like, it was thick and chunky and all.
Didn't slip out your hands.
Couldn't browse the internet.
Yeah. couldn't make a phone call.
Only worked on one network. Oh, what network was that? O2?
Oh, dear. So nice segue, mate. Well done, Greeny. He'll be sending you a fiver for that. So Muller, you've brought the O2 debacle as your story from last Thursday.
Yeah, I mean, there's several ways we can attack this. First of all, the actual what actually happened. And secondly, the fact they're only offering a compensation of 87 pence, which I'm presuming is going to cost them 87 pence to distribute to everyone. It's just pathetic compensation. I'd be outraged.
So to fill in for those that are not UK-based people, because if you're in the UK, you know about this. O2 virtually, I mean, we were at a construction curry club thing, weren't we, on Thursday, James, and O2 had a meltdown then. And literally, there was no data for anyone. People could still make calls, but there was no text for quite a lot of people, and there was absolutely no browsing for anybody.
So basically, the Finnish company, Ericsson, put some old software on there with that wasn't working, so it basically took down the whole network.
Well, it was authorizations for it, wasn't it? They put some software on, and then there was no authorization certificates for it. Yeah.
So it all went down. So there was loads of jokes about my O2 network upgrade must have gone well, so I've heard from the boss, stuff like that. But the thing is, the fallout from it is the compensation, and it looks like if you're a pay-as-you-go customer, you're actually better off. You get 10% more than anybody else.
But the thing is that O2 have claimed over £100 million of compensation from Ericsson, haven't they? But they're only paying out compensation to customers of 87 pence, which comes out at something like 28 million.
So the rest of it, but they are worried. They are worried that they're going to lose a lot of customers. But then you've got to think about O2. It's not just O2. Sky, Tesco, Giffgaff, Lycra, they all use the O2 network, don't they? I think the police do as well, but they've probably got it's a different system, but they use O2. So it's affected all these. I don't know what the other companies are doing, if they're going to get compensation as well and then look towards O2 to pay it. I'll leave it open and I'll pop in when I can. But it just seems 87 pence is pathetic.
Cheers.
Before I move on, though, I did see on Twitter, someone said, instead of paying us the 87 pence, why don't you donate it to charity? Which I thought was quite interesting, because it would, 87 pence, no one's going to miss that, surely.
But what they're saying, isn't there, is if all the amount of customers that are due the 87 pence, as if they just gave it to the homelessness, it would actually solve the issues straight away.
Well, it probably would.
£28 million for the homeless is massive.
Certainly would.
Huge.
So I saw it on that, but it's, yet again, we've got to go back to 87 pence for a whole day. I mean, particularly if your business is running on data. I mean, I saw loads of customers moaning on Twitter, and also the newspapers got onto it, and so BBC and a few others, about people who couldn't deliver stuff. They couldn't get orders in. There was one company who delivers healthcare, couldn't direct their staff to customers' houses, all sorts. So it just seems to me is that, I know Bob Beach said the other day, we all use it and it should be considered
a utility.
A utility.
Yeah. I think that's a leap.
But this has cost some people more than 87 pence.
Yeah, but you see, we had some brownouts here on Friday night last week, and we lost electricity for a good 10, 15 minutes, and then it came back. But I mean, I remember the days of losing electricity for 24 hours in the 70s during the winter of discontent.
Yeah, cold strike.
Yeah. So it was you know, even utilities you can lose for a whole day and you still only get £10 or whatever it is. Isn't it £10? Utilities are £10 a day now.
I don't think you get it on all utilities either.
Really?
Yeah, I think you can be out. You can just be out.
Yeah, 3 days and then they've got to pay you after that or something like that, yeah.
Well, I don't. Another story that I had, just in case this didn't come through, is that some of the internet companies, the cable companies, etc., are about having a code of conduct. If after 2 days you haven't been restored, they will pay you £10 a day for every day you're not connected. But it's going to have to be 2 days, and you have to be like, the engineer's got to be missing or cancelled a visit.
So, yeah, we were off electricity for a while once, and I'm going back probably nearly 20 years, and we got off. We got told that it was after 3 days we could get £10 a day. So £10 a day seems to be like, and it has been for a long time.
Yeah, £10 a day then would have been an awful lot of money probably, but now it's, what is it? It's 2 cups of coffee, is it?
I can say Starbucks. It's probably the coffee bill, the electricity bill for boiling the kettle for coffee.
Yeah. But it just shows you, isn't it, though, how much we rely on it.
A couple of new watches from Greeny.
Yeah, you could have 10 new watches from Greeny for that.
Yes, pretty much.
I'd like to say it's still going, by the way, Greeny, but it's not.
Is it not?
Yeah, no, it stopped when we came back from France. I don't know whether the time change confused it, but it shouldn't have because it's not electronic. But it had stopped, so that's just under 2 weeks. Which is not bad. I mean, I bought a watch for 2 weeks, effectively. So I'm going to see if I can get the back off and see if I can get a new battery for it and see if it's just the battery, because it was a quality watch, mate. I still say it's a good looking watch, mate. The strap was a little bit chafing, but it looked good. Apparently, Bob Beach says May has survived. I'm taking that's a vote in the comments.
Unfortunately.
Well, I don't know. I don't think we could go through.
We're not doing Brexit. No. We already had that. Just we in Europe, yeah. Stuff a lot, yeah. 200 to 170. That's a lot more than I thought.
But she has promised to step down, hasn't she? For the after Brexit, so.
Yeah, I don't know. She's got a bit of a poison chalice anyway. But
it is, yeah.
So, but that's not a squeak, is it? That's a 3-line whiff or something there, I reckon. Have we done that?
I don't know.
Anyone got anything to add about the O2 debacle?
Bit the moon boy did. But he got overtalked.
Who did?
Your new man.
James, go on. Sorry, mate. Did we?
I'm not with O2, so I don't care.
Yeah.
I was with 3, so when it went down, I was great. Using all my data, had no issues.
To all of you people on O2, my heart pumps pee.
Did it affect anywhere else apart from O2 in the UK? So did it affect people like Telefonica and people?
Yeah, it did.
Oh, did it? Telefonica is O2 base, isn't it? Yeah, that's right.
It did affect things in Spain and a couple of other countries.
Yeah.
Wow, that's huge.
So I presume they stopped the rollout once they realised there was a problem.
Well, I wouldn't count it.
Yeah. Greeny, you don't work for them, do you?
No. I do use GiveGaff, and it did cause me a problem because it was out for about a day and a bit, I think, something like that. It was software, I think, that brought it down, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, licenses. Or lack of.
Yeah, right.
There you go.
But yes, it was a problem, yeah.
Excellent. This podcast and all this is brought to you by TSO Host. Please, please, please make sure you name check them on Twitter because we are lost without them, plain and simple. All they're asking from BTN listeners is to go on Twitter and just give a name check. Thanks at TSO Host for supporting at British Tech. That's all you've got to do. Go onto all your social media platforms and make sure you put that in. If you do that, they stick around. We get 2 servers that deal with all the bandwidth and we've got an awful lot of bandwidth issues that we need to solve. And they've got hosts. We've still got all the shows that we had from before. So they've kept up and given us massive amounts of storage. You can go all the way back to the very first Mac show. You can go back to some of the very first news shows as well. back when I was doing it, and I can't remember how I had time for it, but that's it. All we need to do is keep them about is just give them name checks on social media, please. If you do want something from them, they're a great service provider. All of my stuff's with them. And you will get 20% off your basket with BTN20. So if you want any hosting services, go to them, type in BTN20, and you'll get 20% off your basket. Please check them out and please support them. And also, look after Wirecast, because they're the people that help us with the software to run this system and do all the call switching. If you've got a church or if you've got a sports club or anything like that, or any social clubs or something like that, then this is a great piece of software for you. You can link multiple cameras in. You can do pan, tilt, zoom, camera, remote movement using the software. It's very, very fully featured, and it's absolutely brilliant. And thanks to Hoyer for sending me my glasses. My other glasses have been taken back by Hoyer, mostly because I was a fat bugger when I had my face measured. So they're going to do a little bit of pulling in of the frames and stuff like that, because they're custom-made frames for a fatter bloke. So they'll come back next week, I hope, before Christmas, because I miss them already. Thank you, Mark, for looking after me yesterday with those. Right, it's time for the cool thing. I've kind of sprung this on James. I did send him an email midway through the show, so whether he's got some or not, I don't know. James?
Nope, but if you do the other three, I might have by the time they finish.
There we go. It's just something that's cool from tech this week. It's just got to be tech, that's it. So
I'll open my emails in.
Yeah, cool. So start us off then, Muller, what's your cool thing?
I just sent you a link. Mine is something I bought in midweek. And it's a battery-powered ray gun. It's a spray thing, so you can... I didn't bring the rest of it, but there's a pipe, and you can dangle it into a water butt or a bucket. I have bought an attachment, so I can even put a Coke bottle on it.
But the Coke bottle's not got Coke in. The Coke bottle's got water in, I presume, or something like that, or a cleaning agent.
Yeah, you clean it out first. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't put...
Well, you could. No, you could spray Coke.
Well, you could, but you'd probably gunk this up.
Well, yeah. That'd be great for the bash, mate.
I'll do a video of me squirting something with the Coke bottle on, and then we don't tell Alice, though, because we'll get Alice first.
We'll have to do a stocks thing. We'll get someone in some stocks, and someone's got to shoot at them and try and get Coke in the mouth.
Yeah, we'll have to test to make sure it doesn't hurt first, because it's quite a hefty thing.
And if it does, we'll put Alice in the stocks.
Yeah, but the attachment that comes with it, there's two attachments. There's the longer one, and then you can put this other one on top of that. So if you need a bit of a reach, but this has got adjustments for different spray settings from ouch to light rain.
So just for the audio listeners, then, this is the Works WG629E 20 volt max L-ion HydraShot 1x2 mAh battery.
And it's cheaper from Toolstation if you're in the UK. Don't buy it from Argos. That's £150. It's £98 at Toolstation, and it's £102 on Amazon. But I'll use it for cleaning my bike. It comes back off the canal. Can be quite
messy. You were saying
that
you used it for 5 minutes to wash your bike down today, and you've still got 2 out of 3 left on the battery, and it's only a tiny battery, isn't it?
It's only a tiny battery, yeah.
But if you wanted to do the car, you can get a bigger battery for it.
Yeah, but I still think this would do a car quite comfortably.
It's only 15 minutes, isn't it?
I'll let you know how long the battery lasts eventually, but I suspect this battery would do a car easily. And you can buy window washer thing attachments, and you can buy a brush for your car.
That'd be pretty cool.
So there are other attachments you can buy for it. And the fact is, you haven't got to be connected to... you can connect yourself to a hose on the mains if you want to. But you just have to have a bucket of water or a
You said it didn't use a lot of water.
No, well, if you wash a bike or a car, you know how many times you have to change the water, because after a while the water gets dirty. Well, you're just squirting, you know, like when you're at the car wash, you know, you're squirting clean water, so you end up using less water. So it's environmentally, for you. And I actually didn't use much water. I think I cleaned the bike in about 2 or 3 minutes. Just give it a quick wipe over with a cloth, and that was it. So
cool.
I bought it mainly for that, but I will use it on the car. And it does 120 litres per hour, so that's quite a...
I suppose if you live in a terraced house as well, you're not tied to a hose then, so it's...
Exactly why I bought it. And, I mean, yeah. I've seen those big ones, and I don't particularly want to drape a hose through my house, then it come undone and squirt, you know. I'd have a flood.
Good pick.
I love Works tools too. They're fantastic quality.
It does look good. Yeah,
there's some great stuff. Yeah, no, they last forever too. We've got some stuff that we've had for a few years,
and you can use your battery on that. So if you've got the big battery already, you can use the battery on that. Yeah, your works batteries work on that.
Yep.
All right, they're all interchangeable. That's good to know.
Yeah, it's like that other brand that you like. Is it?
Yeah, I'm into those. What's it called?
I can't remember.
Ryobi.
Ryobi. Yeah, they're yellow, aren't they?
The green. Yeah, Ryobi stuff. I really like. Good.
Can I just say that looks so wrong?
What does?
That machine.
Why?
Why?
I just don't know. It's just, it's got, I don't, it must be in the conversations we've had tonight about Dillo. I just don't know. It just looks a bit wrong.
Well, I suppose you could use it for that, whether you, your doctor would then...
Moving on.
What exactly are you power washing?
Exactly.
I mean, we got a reputation for not being safe for work on this show, but let's not take it too far, eh? Excellent, mate.
Cleanliness is the key thing.
To happiness, yes. Very good. What have you got for us, Atlee?
I just put a link up there. They've created a new foldable drone that can fold in mid-flight so they can get through smaller crevices and cracks for helping in rescue missions.
That's pretty cool.
It's amazing. It actually has several different configurations. It can go into an H configuration to be able to handle one situation, an O configuration where it can squeeze in on itself to get through a smaller crevice, and a T configuration for allowing it to center a camera on it. It's quite the fantastic drone. And if you watch the video, it's really cool.
Let's press play on this and see what
I love the newer innovations that they're making. They're starting to give practical uses and come up with more varied and more precise uses for some of these robotics and some of these drones and some of these other things that we're building. So some of the things that were just sort of fun toys and things that we just played around with are now coming out to have some really good practical applications.
It's kind of interesting that they're using birds of prey there as an example at the start of the video, because that's very like what I saw a video of an owl going through a gap between two people's legs, and it was pretty impressive.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing is that one of the things that I've always found fascinating is when science starts to look back at nature to see how, you know, things have obviously evolved to come up with the best solution. So that ends up being often the best way to find the answer to a particular problem.
It's just gone down through a gap by breaking its support wings in the middle and making like an S shape. That was insane. That was brilliant.
Yeah. It's just, like I said, that video alone is the reason. Like, I mean, it's not a long story, not a long thing, but it's so cool.
And it can grasp things and hold them as well.
Yeah. Yeah. It's ridiculous. Christ. The drone is fantastic.
Wait till they put a taser on them and tase you in.
That's what they do. Is someone gets lost in something, the first thing it does is tase you. Come on, don't be such a jackass, don't climb through these.
Well, I wouldn't put it past the Americans to stick a taser on one and then fly it through someone's window and taser them.
It's just showing you it going through all the configurations there on the video, and it's rock solid while it's going through those different setups. It's not
I know
the CPU must be working massively.
And that's the thing, is that think about all the different things it's got to adjust, because it raises the propellers above other propellers so they can get close to each other without, you know.
Yeah.
Like, it's ridiculous. Like, it's not just, you know, forearms moving in a couple of days. It's like up and down, and there's a bunch of different things going on. It's ridiculously interesting and complex, and it's just, I thought it was ridiculously cool.
Does the machine make the decision to close the wings, or does the operator have to do that?
I don't know.
It doesn't say in the article.
No,
it doesn't say in the article. It doesn't say, but that'd be an interesting fact. I mean, it'd be interesting to, and there will be a time, probably not in the near distant future, where it will be able to make that decision, because it'll be able to recognize that that's an opening. It needs to make it X amount of size to get through. And it will adjust. So I would imagine that, well, I would look at, if you look at the processors and what they're doing, a processor that runs a smartphone would easily run on that and run on a fair amount of batteries and be able to do the kind of calculations it would need, especially if you put a GPU on it, attach a GPU to it.
Cool.
So, it's quite possible that it could calculate it itself, but it doesn't say there whether it does or not.
Excellent. Good stuff. Good story, mate. Really good. That is cool. That's the definition of the cool thing right there.
Yeah.
Greeny, what do you have for us, mate?
Well, am I okay to self-promote myself or not?
Of course you are, mate. You can get to do that anyway, but go ahead. I'm cool is just a bit, you know.
Yeah. I've been working on a website that's reviewing companion phones. So, as we all know, sometimes you go to dinner with friends and stuff, and instead of people talking to each other, they're sort of concentrating on their phone.
You've used this story before. This is a cool thing from a couple of weeks back.
Well, it's because it's his own website. Oh, right. He's a bit of self-promotion, yeah. Mate. Yeah, good chance.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Carry on, Greeny. You're right. You're fine.
I'm all right.
Yeah, keep going, mate. Keep going.
So companionphone.com, log on if you want to.
What's on there, though? Is it pictures of people using their phones in antisocial ways, or is it advice how not to get caught in that?
No, it's all reviews about sort of companion phones, smartphones, dumb phones.
That people can watch while they're at dinner with their spouses.
Exactly, yeah.
Right.
You can fit in your wallet and stuff like that.
I'm sorry. I've got so you're saying that people don't pay attention to each other whilst they're at dinner, and you've provided them with the content to watch.
Anyway, this is sort of the first time I've ever had my own sort of WordPress site, and the comments are ridiculous. And my pick of the week is from Dog Snot.
Have they used their real name?
Maybe. I don't know. So Dogsnut says, this is his reflection on my website, is you smell like crap. And I said, no more. So my pick of the week is Dogsnut with his comments on my website.
Dogsnut's 15 minutes starts now. You do know there's like a spam filter that you can put on that for that kind of stuff. Although that does sound like a genuine comment.
That's not like a genuine comment.
No, because most of the bad ones actually have something like that, and then they've got a link to something with some girl who's undressed or a betting site or something like that.
No, I've got nothing. He just dog's not told me I smell like crap, and that's the end of it. Met him, so I wouldn't know how he knows I smell like crap.
Well, it's also impressive that your website pushes out a pungent odour. You'll have to patent that, mate.
I know.
The worldwide view.
It's probably the same one he uses for his shoes.
Thank you for your kind and constructive comment. That's a great idea. Love, Will. There you go, mate. You've got to have some fun with those ones. When they write something in like that that's just deeply offensive, you write back something that's really, really sarky. Yeah. And then it perpetuates for a few years, and then you can get a harassment order from the local police to stop them from banging on your door.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got a few others. Dude, this website looks like no other. Like your chicken burger. I've no idea what that means.
Like your chicken burger?
Yeah.
Have you written an article about a chicken burger on there?
No, I haven't.
No, you haven't. So that's a bit random then.
Yeah, dude, this website.
You're not taking this personally, are you, Greeny?
No. I like chicken burgers.
I can say, if he's referencing a chicken burger you haven't written about, then...
Yes, no,
it's obviously just spam.
Write about phones rather than chicken burgers.
Exactly, there we go. So,
yeah.
I say you're in the clear, mate. Well done. Good sites, companionphone.com, and leave Will a constructive comment that he can read out. Thank you, Dogsnot.
Well, that last one was from Dogsnot as well, actually.
So he's done two, has he?
Yeah, you smell like crap. And he compares me to a chicken burger. So
all I can say, Greeny, is people should go check out your site and don't be a dog snot.
It's a nice username, though, isn't it? Dog snot.
It's a great username.
There we go. The banana phone. The Teske one.
I had a banana phone.
Good reviews, mate. How to save battery life. There's nothing wrong with this. Sound advice. Well done, mate. Good job. Mr. Forrester, do you have a cool thing for us?
Not really, but but as a but.
So this is
not, new, but I would say it's quite cool because I saw it for the first time this week, which was, I think, the future of Lego, how they're going to move forward. And everyone's obviously, you know, up to date with Apple, Google, we've talked about it, but Lego have now really released their creative toolbox where you can build, code it, and play, which I think is actually going to get a lot more traction for moving forward for 2019.
The Lego Creative Toolbox 17101, is that it? £114.
Yeah, so I saw it on the TV the other day and I just thought, that's pretty cool, I have to admit. I wish I had that as a kid.
So is there like loads of things you can make, or is it... Because the thing I found frustrating about Lego is the fact that it's like you get Lego now, which is like you build the Starship Enterprise and that's it. Whereas before,
well,
you had...
Well, that's what they're saying is that you can build like the robot... but you can then program it. I think you do the programming into it as well, so you're learning coding at the same time. But you can then do another one. You can turn it into Frankie the Cat, Guitar 4000, Vernie the Robot.
So there's a whole pile of stuff you can do with it. So £149 then, it seems a bit pricey, but there's loads of opportunities. You can
still... Oh, but there's a catch. There's a catch.
Oh, go on.
So the catch is, because I don't know what the age is for this, so 7 to 12, so it'll probably suit most adults. You have to buy a tablet as well.
You have to buy a pair of shoes.
You have to buy a tablet with it, so £149, and then you've got to buy an iPad on top or a Surface.
Yeah, but it's a free app, so it's a good bargain.
Oh, cool, yeah, that's all right.
You can still buy Lego on its own. You haven't got to buy these kits.
No, I know. But it's like that was all Lego was when I was a kid. There wasn't any kits. You bought like a couple of things.
And you can go into Lego in Birmingham now, I suppose, in all the Lego stores. And if you've got a particular brick you want and you haven't got it in your kit, you can actually go and buy one.
Yeah, that's right.
Or you can just order online. You can order individual bricks.
Yeah.
I'll have to put a picture up. We have a huge, huge Christmas Lego build-up that we have. We just added a train to it with an engine that automatically... runs it around the town, but we'll have to post that online.
Excellent, mate.
There's companies have made a business out of this, haven't they? Where they're commissioned for like shopping centres to come and build massive Father Christmas order sleigh and things like this. It takes them a year to make.
Well, yeah. there was on the news. There was a girl for the Birmingham one, and she was one of the hundreds went for the job, and she's actually got the job to build models for them, and she's well paid as well. And that's her job, is to build models.
Fair play.
Absolutely brilliant. If you're going to, unfortunately, you have to have a kid to go into the Legos, the actual Lego bit. I've said to Bryony, I'm going to kidnap her one day so I can have a look round.
Oh, the Discovery Centres, yeah.
Yeah, you've got to have a child, but you can't go in on your own.
Who's banging around?
Oh, that'd be
cool. That's my other half.
Oh, right, she's all right then, fair enough. Sorry.
That's ended it.
Shut up as well.
Cold water.
Who were? I mean, truck with Mrs. Forrester.
That's not unusual, don't worry.
Yeah, no. Anyone who's not in trouble with their wife is divorced. Where was I? I was going to. So my cool thing is the. I think it's. Is it the Photon browser or the Proton browser?
Proton browser is the one that does flash.
Proton, yeah, the Proton browser. I haven't got it on my phone. I thought I had it on my phone, but it's definitely on my iPad Pro.
I used to have it on here.
Yeah, the Proton browser. So the thing that's cool about that is it comes and runs Flash by default, but it runs it on your iOS device or Android device without installing the dreaded Flash. So if you've got anything that's Flash-based, and the thing that's really cool is it works on live.britishtechnetwork.com, so you can watch the show on that one. It's the only kind of browser that by default works instantly with Flash, and you don't have to worry about the security issues and that kind of stuff with it. Proton.
It's not free.
Proton
it's
browser. Not free, it's not free. It's $4.99, but it's worth the money. Yeah. Proton browser on iOS store and Android. Well worth it. Where can we get a hold of you, Mr. Forrester?
What do you want? The websites?
Well, you've got a TV.
I totally forgot about that.
To promote that, I just thought that'd be a good, sorry to do your job for you, but yeah, you've got a new TV channel on YouTube.
Yeah, Barrows and Forrester TV. You just go onto Google, YouTube, and I think it's Barrows and Forrester TV.
Brilliant. In which you talk about the current state of the property market. And we did an episode today, didn't we, which is coming out later, which has got a debate with between Birmingham developers and Manchester developers, except the Manchester developers chickened out.
They did. They had a Theresa May moment.
They did. They were gone. So the Birmingham won by default. Knockout. Yeah. Technical knockout.
Yeah. It was good. It was good recording today. I think it went well.
Yeah, eventually.
I look forward to seeing it.
Right, so I'm going to upload it after the show's finished and leave it running overnight because one of the episodes is 3 gig. So
yeah, that's the Manchester and Birmingham one.
Yeah, where Manchester didn't even show, we still did 3 gig. Christ, what would have happened if they'd have turned up? Thank you, mate. Thanks for coming along. Have you enjoyed it?
Yeah, it's been good. Yeah, liked it.
Are you going to come back or not?
Yeah, I'll come back. Be a bit more prepared.
Yeah, you know what the format is. It's all right. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
Now I know you have to have a cool thing at the end. You know, it's...
That's fine.
That's all right.
Well, most of the people that we have on, we don't even tell them what they've got to bring a story and they end up having to shovel around for one. So it's standard for the course, mate. Don't worry. Hang on. Who's... Ah, there we go. Next, thanks. Where can we get Aldi Muller?
Muller by Cat on Twitter. And that's about it, really. I'm on...
And in the Slack channel.
Yeah, I'm in the Slack channel. It's a few other things, Facebook and Instagram, if you want.
Excellent, mate. Thank you. Atlee, where will you be?
You can reach me at atleehunter.com or online on Twitter or Instagram at atleehunter.
And Windows show imminent.
Yes, it is.
When you're better.
I'm aiming it for some sort of special right around my birthday. So.
Which birthday?
My next birthday.
Oh, right, cool. Which is in?
13 days.
Oh, cool. So it's we're going for January then?
14
days. January. Let's go for January 1st and just be done with it.
Okay, sounds good.
Excellent, mate. Happy birthday. Were you born on Christmas?
No, I was born. My mom was in labor all Christmas Day, and I was born first thing in the morning the next day.
Boxing Day, which you don't hold, I suppose, so.
Yeah, we have Boxing Day here.
Thanks, mate. Mr. Green, where will you be?
My normal place, BritishMac.com. And you can follow me on Twitter, BritishMac2. And the next British Mac, which is almost finished, will be out on Sunday, I think.
Wow, you're going at a fair old pace here, mate. You did one in 10 years, and now you've done...
Well, yes.
You've probably been about 3 weeks, haven't you, every one?
So over the last 2 months, I've done probably about three, I think, something like that. I try to do two a month, but they're secret ones because I've got a Patreon account.
Yeah,
as well.
They have to pay the Patreon to see the little ones. Yeah.
Yeah, and the current Patreon one is going to be a video one, so that's cool. So if you want to see my ugly mug, you can sort of join Patreon, which I think is...
Patreon.com/BritishMac.
Oh, is it? Good.
Yeah. Thanks, mate. Yeah. And we've got patreon.com/British Tech Network if you want to donate to us as well. Or you can just go to... British Network. Give us both. Yeah, BritishTechNetwork.com/subscriptions if you want to enter a subscription for British Tech, which pays for the news show, which is flying high at the moment. We're up 160 in the top 200 podcasts for tech. So well done, Kyle. News show's brilliant. Kyle does it every day from the Philippines. He's in the perfect time zone because he's there, collected all the news, and by the time he's publishing it, it's late afternoon and it's first thing at 9 a.m. So you've got it for the commute in the UK. It's brilliant. And I'm going to try and post this a little bit more regularly because I screwed up last week. I've got to put a show in, so I do apologise. My name's Ewan Rankin. Get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. You can follow the network on at British Tech as well. Next Wednesday is the Christmas shows, so we're going to do the Christmas quiz, the Mac show at 4. We might push that back to 6 because I've got a bit of an issue with work. And then we're going to push the big show at 8. So that should be loads and loads of fun. And then in the new year, we're going to do both shows on Fridays. The wife's told me off for doing Wednesdays and Fridays, so we're going to go back to Fridays, both shows on Fridays, like it used to be, back when I was at the old place, and but there's no alcohol because I'm still slim into.
Yeah, I can drink alcohol.
Yeah, you can. I come and pick you up and you can...
I'm the producer. I do what I like.
Executive producer.
Executive producer.
Right. Thanks for listening, everyone. See you next week.
Bye.
See ya.